We're going to start, we're continuing on with our story of Easter. We're going to do the Thomas story. You've heard me talk about Thomas quite a bit. I promise you, we're actually taking a little new angle on this today. But let's read that story first. It comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition. Hear now these words. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Look, unless I see the mark of nails in his hands and put my finger in the marks of the nails and my hand in the side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of those words. Part of our theme today will be talking about wounds that don't disappear, but rather they find an expression. And that what looks like resolution from outside often carries sort of unresolved pain underneath it. So with that in mind, I'm also going to read another excerpt from the book Narrative of the Life of Frederick Douglass, an American Slave by Frederick Douglass. And he has this to say: "I have been utterly astonished since I came to the North to find persons who could speak of singing among slaves as evidence of their contentment and happiness. It is impossible to conceive of a greater mistake. Slaves sing most when they are most unhappy. The songs of slaves represent the sorrows of his heart, and he is relieved by them, the songs, only as an aching heart is relieved by tears. At least, such is my experience. I have often sang to drown my sorrow, but seldom to express my happiness." Doug, you should do another song for me?
Okay. All right. Okay.
Thanks, sir. Didn't make me surprise.
Okay. That first song I did was by Daryl Scott. This is one of my favorite Guy Clark songs. And I apologize for my... extra scratching us this morning. Pollen has had its way with me. Okay. 8 years old with a flower sack cape tied all around his neck. He climbed up on the garage and figured, what the heck? He screwed, he screwed his front end up so tight the whole thing came and went. He got a running start, bless his heart, he headed for the ground. Well, he's one of those who know that life is just a leap of faith. Spread your arms and hold your breath and always trust the case. Now he's all burned up with a flower sack cape tied all around the streets. And he's full of disadventure. And he's busted at the seams. So he did his favor. Check the wind and gonna be do or die. He wasn't scared of nothing, boys. He was pretty sure he could fly. Well, he's one of those who knows that life is just a leap of faith. Spread your arms and hold your breath, and always trust your game. Now he's old and gray, with a flour sack cape tied all around his head. He's still jumping off the garage, and will be till he's dead. All these years, people said he's acting like a kid. He did not know he could not fly, so he did. Well, he's one of those who knows that life is just a leap of faith. Bend your arms and hold your breath, and always trust your faith. Life is just a leap of faith. Spread your arms and hold your breath, and always trust your case.
Thank you. So it's always a joy to have you with us. Thank you for those songs. Looking forward to a few more from you. I didn't want to surprise you.
We'll get ready.
Our message today is entitled, The Wounds Still Show. So y'all know this story, the story of Thomas. We have all been here together, not in this room, but we've been here with this story before. We sat with Thomas before. We defended him even. We've even renamed him. He's not Doubting Thomas. He's Inquisitive Thomas, right? Well, because what he is doing is not failure, is why we changed the name. It's not a failure. It's actually integrity. He kind of is one of these, just refuses to pretend. And if you've been around our gatherings for any length of time, you already know that where I've gone with that angle on this story. You've heard me say that doubt isn't the enemy of faith. You've heard me say that questions are often the most faithful response to a world that doesn't seem to make any sense. So today, we're not starting there. We're going a step further. Because there's something in this story we haven't fully sat with yet. Not just that Thomas asks questions, but what he asks to see. See, the story in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, is strange in a way that we often rush right past. See, the disciples are locked in a room. Fear is thick in the air. Everything they thought was going to happen didn't. And then presence shows up anyway. No warning, no explanation, just there. And what does Jesus do? Does he say, look, everything's fine now? Or does he say, none of that pain matters anymore? Does he show up polished and perfect like nothing ever happened? No, he doesn't do any of that. Those wounds, they are still there. Visible. Touchable. Unhidden. And when Thomas hears about it, he doesn't say, I need to feel better. He doesn't say, I need some certainty. He says, I need to see those wounds. Not proof of power, not anything like that. He wants proof of honesty. If the wounds were gone, then whatever this is, it's not real. All right, this is where we're going to pause for a minute. And this time around, this is for all my introverts, like me in the room. Not going to ask you to turn to somebody else, but this is not a question that just Thomas has, you see. This is a question for us. So here's what I want us to do together by ourselves, like good introverts like to do. So not out loud, no pressure, just you. So go ahead, introverts, you can go ahead and take a breath and go, we're not going to be asked to do it this time. And then name silently one wound that you carry. It can be personal. It can be something in your family. It can be something that you've experienced in church. It can be something you've watched unfold in the world right now that you just can't quite seem to shake. Just name it and sit with this question. What would it mean if that wound doesn't disappear? What if it still shows? Take a little less than a minute, think about that word, and ask yourself, what if it doesn't disappear? What if it still shows at least? Yeah, it seems a lot longer when it's real quiet. All right, I'm going to assume that was enough time for everyone to think of something and begin at least to ask those questions. Because, you see, somewhere along the way, a lot of us were taught that resurrection means reversal. Death becomes alive. Broken becomes fixed. Pain becomes irrelevant. Like some kind of, I don't know, cosmic reset button. But that's not what this story tells us. It's not what it gives us. The same body, the same story, the same wound, still there. Which, at least in part, has to mean that resurrection is not about pretending that it didn't happen. It's about what happens next. With everything that did happen. And that matters. That matters because we're living in a moment that is very good at pretending that wounds don't exist. We're living in a moment where people in power call violence righteousness, where harm gets wrapped in religious language and handed back to us like it's something sacred, where entire groups of people are told your pain doesn't count, or even worse, your pain is necessary. We are living in a moment where the loudest voices are the ones most invested in keeping the wounds hidden or denying their wounds at all. But, resurrection doesn't do that. Resurrection says, show me. Show me the damage. Show me the cost. Show me what was done. Not so that we can stay stuck there, though. But so we can just tell the truth about it. See, Thomas gets a bad reputation in a lot of spaces, but here we have started knowing better than that. Thomas is the one who refuses to accept a cleaned up version of the story. Thomas is the one who says, if this is real, it'll hold up under honesty. And that hits sort of close to home for a lot of us. Because many of us didn't leave certain kinds of faith because we stopped caring. We left those certain kinds of faith because we couldn't pretend anymore. We couldn't pretend that the wounds weren't there. We couldn't pretend that the harm hadn't happened. We couldn't pretend that everything was fine when it clearly wasn't. And somewhere along the way, someone told us that walking away from that kind of pretending meant that we were losing our faith. But what if it's not what that meant? What if it meant we were becoming more honest, more like Thomas, more like someone who says, if this is going to mean anything, it has to be real. Because here's the thing. A resurrection that erases wounds, that's not good news. It's actually gaslighting. It's gaslighting. It tells people who have been hurt, that didn't really matter. It tells communities that have been oppressed, just go ahead, move on. It tells the world, don't worry about what got broken. It's gaslighting. And that kind of message, it doesn't heal anything. It just protects the systems that caused the harm in the first place. But a resurrection where the wounds still show? Well, that's different. That says what happened matters. That says the story didn't get rewritten to make people comfortable. That says healing is not the same thing as erasing. So let's widen the lens for just a minute, because this is not just about one person in one story. This is about all of us. Communities carry wounds. Churches carry wounds. Some of y'all have been hurt in church before. Not hypothetically, not someone somewhere. You. So have I. You've been told you didn't belong. Told you were wrong for who you are. Told you to shrink, to hide, to be quiet. And those wounds, they don't just disappear because we're now gathering in a different space. They come with us. They shape how we are able to trust. They shape how we show up. They shape what we're willing to risk. And here's the question that resurrection asks us. What if those wounds are not disqualifications? What if they are part of how we participate in bringing life into the world? So, here's the second thing I want us to do together, all by ourselves alone in our own seats. Again, no one sharing out loud unless you want to do that later on the porch or something. This is just for each one of you individually. Think about that wound that you named earlier. Now, shift the question. Instead of asking, how do I get rid of this? Ask, how has this shaped the way I see others? How has it made you more compassionate, more aware of them, less willing to ignore injustices? Has it changed how you show up for people who are going through something similar to what you are thinking of? Just notice, because for a lot of us, those very things we had wished had never happened are actually the things that taught us how to love more honestly. I'm going to give you a minute to do that. The question is, how has this shaped the way I see others? Let's take a minute to consider that. Okay, so what you're just thinking about, I need to say that doesn't make the harm okay. Let's be clear about that. Those wounds matter, even if it did cause you to do something positive. Those wounds should not have happened. Nothing about resurrection is trying to say it was good that you were hurt. But it does say this. The harm does not get to decide what your life becomes. The harm doesn't get to decide what your life becomes. So back in that locked room, Thomas finally gets what he asked for. Put your hands here, he's told. See for yourself. No shame, no rebuke for asking, just, invitation. And Thomas responds. And it's not with a theological essay, not with a perfectly formed statement of belief. It's with recognition. Something in him knows, okay, this is real. This is real. Not because it's perfect, but because it's just honest. It's real. That's the kind of faith that holds. Not the one that requires everything to be neat and resolved, but the one that can look at the wound and still say, there is life here. There is presence here. There's something still unfolding here that has not been defeated. So, if you're here today carrying something that hasn't gone away, if you're here still shaped by something that you wish had never happened, if you're here and the wounds still show, well, you're not behind. You're not doing it wrong. You're standing right in the middle of your story. Because resurrection is not about becoming untouched. It's about becoming someone who shows up anyway. Wounds and all. And in a world that is very good at hiding harm, denying harm, or blessing harm, people who are willing to tell the truth about wounds, people who are willing to carry them honestly and still choose to show up with compassion, with courage, with a refusal to look away from them? Well, that's where resurrection keeps happening. Ending, but a stubborn, ongoing refusal to let death or violence or fear have the final word. The wounds still show. And somehow, so does life. Done. Poetic. I kind of missed it for a second. The next lyric was, I will try and I will stumble.
I'm pretty good.
It works. I like it. Let's take a moment and bow our heads together. May we be reminded that the wounds we carry are not signs of failure. May we be reminded that the scars we wish were gone are often the places where truth first broke fruit. May we resist the temptation to pretend we are whole in ways that we are not. May we refuse the lie that healing means forgetting. Instead, may we become people who tell the truth about what has been done, what has been lost, what still aches. And in that truth, may we find one another. Where there is pain we cannot name out loud, may we be met with gentleness. Where there is harm that still shapes us, may we be moved toward compassion, not only for ourselves, but for every person carrying something unseen. May we be a community that does not rush past wounds, does not explain them away, does not call them necessary. May we be a community that sits with them, honors them, and still chooses to show up. And in the places where the world tells us to hide what hurts, may we be courageous enough to live honestly, not because the wounds are good, not because the pain was right, but because love refuses to let harm have the final word. May we carry what we carry with honesty. May we hold one another with care. And may we keep showing up again and again until even our wounds become places where life insists on breaking through. Amen. Sing this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life, and may your words and your actions share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.
Well, y'all get your handouts up. We'll do the five verses. We won't bother with the Native Americans.
Amen.
Thank you.